نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في قرآن مجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي ألف ألف مرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، توشي بلنسة بسرعة.
Shaban. In the last days of Shaban, I think it was the 29th of Shaban, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went onto the minbar, onto the pulpit, and he gathered all the Sahaba, the companions. And this was an unusual thing. It was an unusual thing. All the companions were gathered because a special announcement was about to take place, a special point. There was a very special announcement which was delivered by the Prophet ﷺ. So every companion was keen. There must be something special about to be said here. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he ascended the pulpit, his member Sharif, and he said that, "I want to announce something to you." And I'm just giving you the meaning of this hadith here. I'm sharing the meaning of the hadith with you. So the companions, they were very attentive, concentrating, focused on what the Prophet ﷺ was saying. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Listen to me, I'm about to tell you one thing. The very great month is about to come." What a great month it must be if you think about it, the Prophet ﷺ is saying. The Sahaba were amazed, taken aback. And then the Holy Prophet ﷺ said about that month a second thing. He didn't go into a lengthy detail. He didn't say anything. No lengthy. He just said that a great month is about to come. And the second thing the Prophet ﷺ said is that about inside that month, within that month, there will come a night. There will be such a night that until today, such a night has not come in the history of mankind. And it will not come in the future. So that night, the reward of that night is so brilliant, so immense, that just like in that night, if a person does an action, if he does ibadah, worship, does a good deed, then 1,000 months equivalent to that, he'll get the reward. So that night is called Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. And then the Quran has also said to us, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr." So the question here is a straightforward question now. That Allah's Nabi, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said it's a great month. And to be a great month, when he said that, the description, then what's the reason for it to be a great month? Why is this month great? All the months are also great, the other months of the year. Yeah, they're all the same, the 11 months, the other 11 months. So what makes this month great, immense, massive? Look, the human being, he does a special action, a human being. How does he react? And due to that action that a human being does, then that thing he does gets greater or it's lesser greater. It's the same days, it's the same nights, it's the same darkness, the same the sun rises, the same way the sun sets. But there's such an action, if it comes into it, such an event takes place, then that time, that day becomes unique, that day becomes unique, becomes different, separate. For example, you always see all the days are the same, but you'll see that Jummah, Friday, is unique, is different, it feels different. Yes, the sun rises the same on a Friday morning. If it's raining, then the rain falls the normal. There's nothing different physically in the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Friday has put such an ibadah, 2 rak'ah salah, Jummah, if we pray, and that due to the action Jummah, it becomes Jummatul Mubarak, becomes a blessed day. This is unique. So any action that a person does due to a specific event or time, then it's a greater thing. It's the same person. There are two types of human beings. And why is there a difference between the two human beings? They are the same. The nose is the same. Ears are the same. Mouth is the same. Eat the same. They get sick, unwell. And inside the body, is the organs are working the same. The heart and the kidneys, etc. But what's the difference between the two human beings? The difference is such, through their actions, through their deeds, they are different, the two human beings. Yes, if a good person does an action, does good deeds, righteous deeds, and he does deeds that give benefit and reward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes that person unique and different to others. His character becomes unique, His akhlaq is different, His conduct is different, His maqam, His level in Allah ta'ala's eyes is different. He's the same human being, physically, but His amal, His actions have changed him, revived him, He's got good qualities inside him. And then there's another person who does sin, who does wrong, then he's a bad person. He gets dishonored in society, his name gets dragged down, nobody looks at him twice. So what's the difference here? From the deeds. So here Allah ta'ala said that this night, this month, Ramadan is a great month. And why is it a great month? What's the question here? Why is it a great month? What's the reason that this month is so great? What's the special quality in this month? And then after that, due to the greatness of this month, we get the qualities and the characteristics in the month. Just like there's a person I said to you, that due to good deeds, he gets higher. Then good qualities come out of him that everyone respects him then. And they think that he's honest. They'll consider him righteous, upright. They'll respect him. Come, you come, please. They'll give him room in the car. They'll sit him in the front. Why? Because he's the same, physically, human being. But his deeds, his actions elevate him, make him higher. And he gets good qualities that emanate from him. The same way, this is the same physically month. Days are the same. Nights are the same. But this is greater. Why is this month greater? Not for this reason, that just like Allah Ta'ala has put some specific qualities in this month. That in this month, for example, if a person prays nafil, he gets the fard reward. Fard. If he prays fard, then 70 times extra fard reward he'll get. That's how much reward Allah Ta'ala has put into this month. And there are many other great qualities of this month. But it's not due to these reasons this month is great. Rather, it's due to the greatness of this month that the qualities are better. Do you understand the point? So, what we need to see here is that really, what's the reason that Allah Ta'ala has enhanced this month? Why is Allah Ta'ala elevated this month? Due to which then the actions we do get great results. So, there's a reason behind it. Allah says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr." Allah says, this month, what makes this month great, elevated high, and give it status. The reason for this is this, that in this month there is such a reward Allah's giving, due to which this month becomes unique. And what was the action? That in this month, within this month, Allah said, I revealed my Qur'an in this month. Subhanallah. The Qur'an revelation, due to that, Allah Ta'ala has made this month a very high status month. Do you understand this point? So now this month, Allah Ta'ala has given it greatness. Allah has decorated this month with the greatness. We had the first 10 days of this month. We have the second 10 days in this month. And we have this last third we're in now. And all are equal in the time length. 10 days. But why are the last 10 days more important for us? Why? The nights are the same, the first 10 days, the second 10 days. So why is this last third of Ramadan? Why is Allah Ta'ala given elevation? So many rewards Allah's put. What's the reason for this? And then there's another reason again. Because in this night, Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran in that night. So the real reason then for the greatness, why is Ramadan unique? Why is it honorable? Because Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran in this month. Why is that night so great? Because in this night, in that night, Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran. So the real reason behind all of this, the greatness of this month, the uniqueness is what? The revelation of the Qur'an. That's why we see in this month the Qur'an. MashaAllah, people read Qur'an. And such people are reading Qur'an. A person like me, miskeen, and he doesn't get time, he's so busy, occupied, and that even he reads 2 pages of the Qur'an. But Allah Ta'ala has in this month given us such barakah, the blessings. This is the month of the Qur'an. That even the weakest of people, all year long he doesn't touch the Qur'an. He stands and the whole of the Qur'an we listen to in Ramadan. The whole of the Qur'an. So that's the proof. That's proof. The whole Quran we've heard. The young children, elderly people, they've all heard the Quran. And subhanAllah. There's a hadith that a person who reads the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on every letter of reading, Allah gives him 10 good deeds. In Ramadan, then obviously that multiplies many times over. And the person who hears the Quran, he also gets 10 good deeds. He also gets 10 good deeds. According to this hadith. So many people, they don't know how to read the Quran. But Allah ta'ala, in this month, due to the blessings of this month, Allah put so many blessings. There's such a great thing is the Quran. Such a high level has the Quran. That due to the revelation of the Quran, Allah has made this month so sacred and blessed. And this night is so sacred and holy. Laylatul Qadr has become no other night in any other month is like this. That the virtues of this night, just for this reason, that the Quran was revealed in that night. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, due to the blessings of this, Allah Ta'ala then the whole ummah in this month, Allah then attached them to the Quran, connected them to the Quran. Allah reconnected them to the Quran. And somebody's reading the Quran and somebody's listening to the Quran. The person who's reading the Quran, Allah's given the high status, and those who are listening, they get 10 times, they get 10 good deeds, the person who's listening to the Quran. 10 good deeds. And the person who's reciting the Quran, hadith says, the person who's reciting the Quran will get on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the crown on his head. The crown on his head. Why? Because Allah ta'ala said that in this concise month, Allah showed us, demonstrated us, that whatever is there in this month, everything, all the blessings and mercies that we have in our possession, most greatest and highest and sacred thing is this, due to which our body is in existence. We are Muslims and we are believers. We have Iman, which is protected, and hereafter will be recognized with our Iman. And we'll be saved on the day of resurrection. We're going to paradise. There's only one thing, and that is the Quran-e-Hakim, the noble Quran. Yes, so to revive this awareness in this month, Allah Ta'ala has revived that awareness for us in this month. And so much Allah's fadl, His grace, the children, a child has heard the whole Quran, the elderly people have heard the whole Quran, all the people approximately, mostly people, and some poor souls, they're fortunate, unfortunate, but every person has heard by standing the whole Quran during Tarawih, And every person is then attached to the Quran in this month. So that's the greatness of this month Allah has given to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, how much love we should have with the Quran. Imagine that. Now, what we learn here and realize is that we in this world and in the hereafter, if we are going to be recognized, we're going to be saved, if we're going to be successful, and only one way, that what is our connection with the Quran? What's our relationship with the Quran? How strong is that? We say we are connected to the Quran. Everything, we look at the Quran, we get thawab. If you look at the Quran, you get reward. If you touch the Quran, you get reward. If you read the Quran, you get reward. If you memorize the Quran, you get reward. If you become a qari, recite the Quran eloquently, you get reward. The whole worldwide, we have status, people are high or low. The Sahih Bukhari and Muslim hadith I will share with you now, so we understand this better. What does Allah Ta'ala though say about connection with the Quran? That we give titles, we give designation, we give status. Look, he's learned, he's learned Quran, he's got knowledge. Allah says, listen to me, I'll tell you who's better and who's not better. Allah classifies the better people. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, that the best human being is that person who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. Who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. What a great action, huh? The best people are those. The best human beings are those. If Allah is classifying someone as the best, then imagine how best that person will be. No other praise that that person who has this title, who does this in the world, who does that in the world. No. Whoever has learned the Quran and who's taught the Quran, he is the best of human beings. Or she is the best of human beings. Both. Best human being is that person who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. And the ummah until that time will be in existence, until this continues, then the best of people will be created. When this thing will finish, then Allah says you'll be the waste of time, ummah. You'll be the waste of time, group of people. Our status, our level, our rank in Allah's eyes is due to the connection with the Quran, the Holy Quran. So this is Laylatul Qadr, my friends. It's a reminder that Allah has given to us on this night, that think, what are we? Understand, what are you? That what connection and relationship do you have with this book of Allah? How sincere are we in our relationship with the Quran? Tell me. This is a Sahih Hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, the Prophet of Allah. I think Hazrat Malik bin Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith, man taraka fikum amarain. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taraka fikum amarain, that between you, amongst you, I will leave two things with you. I'm leaving two things with you. Two things. Why? Because our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final Prophet. After him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be no Prophet. Before him, what happened? One Prophet came, he went. Another Prophet came, he went. Another Prophet came, he went. A Prophet came, he left. Then the Ummah spoilt. Then Allah sent a Prophet again. Then the rectification started. Then the Islah started. Then development started. Then the Prophet departed. And then people would go off track again. And then the Prophet would come again. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final Prophet. So what did he prepare? He said, even if I go, then two things I will leave with you. لَن تَدَرُّوا. You can never be deviated if you hold fast onto those two things I'm leaving with you. You cannot come off the tracks. You cannot be deviated or distracted. You will have no profit requirement for any profit until the day of judgment. You won't need any dalil or proof. There are two things I'm giving to you, said the Prophet ﷺ. That what you need to do? All you need to do is grab hold of those two things firmly, said the Prophet ﷺ. I'm leaving with you two things. And then you will not be deviated. You won't come off the tracks. The person who forgets his way, who gets lost. Yes? Who forgets his journey. That, when we say that person is deviated, he's lost. He's lost his path, lost his way, lost his route, and then he's not here, he's not there, he gets lost, confused. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I will leave you two things. If you firmly grab hold of those two things, then you will not be deviated. What are those two things? The Prophet ﷺ said, I'm leaving with you Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and Kitabullah, the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the Sunnah, the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. So we have no need for any profit after that. These are two things. If we grab hold onto them, the guarantee is given to us that whoever follows life according to these, whoever takes the Kitab of Allah, the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Sunnah, whoever takes these two guiding principles, then he will never be deviated. He will never come off the tracks. He will never leave his deen. He will never leave Islam. He will never imitate those who are not believers. He will never be dishonored in the world. And he will be an honorable, respectful person. Now why are we spoiled? Why are we off tracks? Look at our bad situation now. The circumstances that are surrounding us now. The reason for this is this, simple, that we have left these two guiding principles. We have no relationship with the Quran, and nor do we have a connection with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we are far from the Quran and the Sunnah, so we are off track, deviated. And the sign of deviation is that we have that in front of us. No, that there's no culture, no way, we have no methodology, no hisab. What should we do? How should we live? Nothing at all do we know. What is necessary, what is not necessary. We have no standard of life criterion that we're following. Reason being, because the Quran has told us the reason for this. So the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has given us the Quran, His revelation. And after giving us the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said also that you need to have a relationship with the Quran, a connection with the Quran. And the connection with the Quran isn't that you memorize the Quran, you become qari, reciter, you read it, or you teach. The best person is that person who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. Yes? So what are these two things? That person, that individual, those are best who have practiced on the Quran. Practiced on the Quran. Yes? Not just alif, ba, ta, tha, I'm teaching the Quran, so I'm the best human. No. The character, make the character, your character, the character of the Quran. And it should be practically coming to us. That means teaching. That's the meaning of teaching, isn't it? Learning and teaching. Teaching doesn't mean I've taught them the alphabet and I'm greater than others. No, that's something else. That's something else. Here, teaching and reading means the Quran, practically you're bringing it into your life. That's how you teach it. That's how you influence other people. Yeah? It's not this that you've memorized the Quran or you're teaching the Quran alphabet and you're connected to Quran. That's not connection with the Quran. Sahih Hadith teaches us, authentic Hadith, that there are five connections a believer has with the Quran. Five connections. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr, so this is a reminder for us that what is your relationship with the Quran, your connection. People say Laylatul Qadr, what should we do? Oh, someone says stay awake all night, pray Salatul Tasbih. And this is our culture, and this is our standard, what we do in Laylatul Qadr. Let's pray, worship, pray Salah, Salatul Tasbih, and do this Tasbih, or do this Dhikr. Are we mad that we should stay up all night long? What are we going to do staying up all night long? What are we going to achieve? What are we going to attain? Yes. So if we stay up all night long, Bulle Shah said that even the dogs, they stay up all night long, they are greater than you. So what will you get from staying awake? Even animals stay awake all night. The meaning of staying awake is such a way you should stay awake that there should be a purpose behind your staying awake. A reason that this terminology, stay awake, this means make your soul, awaken your soul, not your eyes, awaken your soul. Yes, it's not about staying up your body, keep your eyes open. No, because what do you get from that? Stay awake and we got Laylatul Qadr and we'll get forgiven. No, is this forgiven just by staying awake? What is it? What have we understood from this great night? Yes, is Laylatul Qadr celebrating? Oh, somebody's falling down, he's sleepy. And in the morning, he says, Yar, is it morning? Oh, well, he's awake from the morning all night long. Meaning of staying awake means awaken yourself inside, revive yourself inside. Foolish people, what are your circumstances of your life? Look around yourself, assess yourself. Where are you yourself? Where do you stand today? Where are your children going? What condition are you in? What are you surrounded with? Somebody is this, somebody is this, somebody has this style of life, that style of life. So this night is telling us, wake up. Wake up, because death is very close to you. Death is very close to you. A person who doesn't believe in Allah, he will go, for sure. He doesn't know about the Quran. What does he know? Who is Allah? What does he know? What is the deen? What is Islam? A person who doesn't believe, he will go towards destruction. But you, your father was Muslim, your grandfather was Muslim, and you know what is a masjid. You know about the pulpit. You know about adhan. You know in your house you have Qurans printed. In every place you got Quran on the shelves at home. So you have gone to sleep. This night tells us you have gone to sleep. So wake up, O believer, wake up. Inside. This night has come to revive us, to awaken us. You understand what does that mean now? To stay awake? Yes. So don't just bop around and pray and fall asleep and you're tired. Yes. The people get an excuse, okay, we'll do naat, we'll do nasheed on this night, we'll do this action. That this is a fraud in our deen, how we utilize this night. How we have misread the purpose of life nowadays. Everything we have brought towards a tradition, a culture. My brothers, my colleagues, what answer will we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have belief that we have iman. We believe in Allah. We believe in the punishments of the grave. We believe in the punishments in the hereafter. We believe in hell. We believe in paradise. And very soon it will come. Very soon our lives will finish. Very soon this hereafter will come to us and confront us. Tomorrow, yesterday I was young. I was youthful decades ago. I was youthful and I used to play games. I used to play sports and run around and jump around. But I don't have that today. I don't have that. So which direction is the human being going in? Yesterday you were young. You were young. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? So this night of Laylatul Qadr, wake yourself. Wake up. Allah says, revive yourself. Revive yourself. Understand who you are. Where you're going. Yes? And it shows us this night. It makes us understand this. So your grave is calling you. Death is coming near to you. Your grave is calling you. The hereafter is calling you. Nothing will save you. So what we need to think tonight, specifically, if we have some consciousness, we believe that we're going to die, then this is a great night to guide us. This is the night that can change our lives. Tonight, if we, each of one of us individually, if we celebrate this night properly the way we should, then we revive ourselves from within and wake up inside. I swear by Allah, paradise is stood right next to us. Right next to us. This is how great is this night. You shouldn't need to stay wake up all night. Just give 3 minutes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just 3 minutes. Allah says, just 3 minutes Allah says, give to me. That's enough. That's enough. Put all your sins on one side and give 3 minutes on this night to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just put all your sins on one side in front of you and see what happens then after those 3 minutes. And the doors of paradise will open for you, for sure. And understand this. And be prepared for that. So what should we do? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. That's why Allah Ta'ala said that you will not understand what is laylatul qadr. You can understand. You'll be waking up. You'll doing other actions. You will misunderstand the purpose of this night. Allah says, this night I have given to you so you can be saved from hell. You, your holy prophet, I want you to connect yourself to your prophet through this night. You've left your prophet today. You've left the kitab of Allah. You've left the way of the prophet and his kitab. Because the prophet and the kitab of Allah are both intertwined. They are together. Nurun kitabun mubin, Allah says. That the nur, the prophet was nur and he was sent with the kitab. They came together. So they're not separate. The prophet's lifestyle and the Quran are intertwined. They are combined. They're not separate. The same. The person who believes in the Quran properly is the one who follows the Prophet ﷺ, and the one who follows the Prophet ﷺ properly is the one who believes in the Quran. So you cannot say, I believe in one and I leave the other. No, I don't believe in the Prophet, I believe in the Quran, and he's kissing the Quran. And he doesn't believe in the Prophet ﷺ. He says, Sunnah is not necessarily, I don't need to follow the Prophet ﷺ. It's too hard now in the world. There were the olden days and the Sahaba used to follow the Sunnah. These are fundamentalist extremists who follow the Sunnah. I don't know the names, the titles given to the believers. Allah says, the best Muslim is that person who is connected to the Quran physically. And we say he's Maulana Sahib, extremist, scholar, and he's just extremist, backward person. They're Jahil, we say. Those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah. This is our flawed thinking. Flawed thinking. What is Allah saying? That He is the best human being. And we say today, they're the worst people, astaghfirullah, who follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Today, in this day and age, in front of us, we have this. Until today, I've never seen that a person in university, college, a graduate, student, person who has got high university, comes in the masjid and gives me money, my children don't have anything, please give me charity, give me some meat, or give me a sack of wheat or a sack of rice, we're hungry. As soon as Ramadan comes in the masjids, the khairat, we start asking for charity. And charity for what? How sad it is to say on our nation of Muslims, the children who are studying Quran in the institutes, they have no food to eat. We hear these announcements, they have no clothes, then no food. For the sake of Allah, please give some money. And all the money we collect, haram, lawful and unlawful. Ramadan, we see mounds of money being accumulated. Is this the case or not? For who though? For which people? The same people, believers, who are saying that we are teaching the children Quran, and they're begging. They're begging around the world, they're traveling around the cities, the mosque, Hindustan, Pakistan, Bangladesh. They're begging, they come in here. To this extent that we hear that please give money for a wheat of rice, please give some money for a wheat of grain, please give some money so we can get some clothes for the students. Who? Allah said that the best of people are those. And if this is our condition now, that we're begging for money for the students, we have such a low connection with the Quran. So what about that? Then do you think, even now what we're seeing around us, this is just the start of what's happening in the world. This is nothing. It's just a warm-up. My friends, it's nobody's fault. He's swearing at them, they're swearing at each other, they're cursing each other. No one's doing anything. It's Allah who sat in the throne high above. He is the one who's running the show. He is the one running the show. It's His choice. Without His choice, even a leaf cannot sway from a tree. And the person who believes in Allah, who believes in the Habib of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, is connected to the Quran. And he's being mistreated today. It's not him. Allah Ta'ala says, I will send my angels to the earth for the true believers to help them. So all these events are happening around us. What's the reason for this? So why don't we believe in the facts? We're swearing at him, a Muslim, or he's an oppressor, or he's extremist, or look at these people. It's not their fault. Yes, that is from behind that the strings are being pulled. Yes, and they're not wretched yet, they're not cursed yet. Because they are deserved of being wretched and cursed. The Allah Ta'ala said, I gave them so much. So much, the high level Kitab Quran. The greatest Nabi Sallam came to their region. And Allah said, I promised them just two things. That don't leave the Quran and don't leave my Prophet Sallam. In this world and the hereafter, I will make you the highest from the mankind, Allah says. I promise you. But we are so weird. And we accept the Torah. We leave the Quran. You accept what I'm saying? You listen to what I'm saying? It's totally straightforward, my discussion, what I'm saying to you. This is Laylatul Qadr, is teaching us this. I'm not saying this to you, wake, stay awake all night long, pray Salatul Tasbih, read this Tasbih, pray this, do these duas, you'll be forgiven, you go to paradise. This is all drama. This is drama. To go into paradise, it takes 3 minutes. Give 3 minutes to Allah and you'll go into paradise. Just 3 minutes. 3 minutes only. If you don't hear the reply from Allah above that you are forgiven and your family is forgiven, then tell me. That this is that night. Allah says, Inna anzalna. That first here, this Laylatul Qadr, you sat down. When will Laylatul Qadr come? What should we do? Did you find it? Do you know what night it is? Did you hear it? Did you see it? What have you got? Laylatul Qadr, that person receives who has done tawbah, repented in the presence of Allah. He's got Laylatul Qadr. Just repent, that's it. That's Laylatul Qadr. Yes, Allah says, you've earned it. You've attained it. That purpose I sent you this night. Allah says, me and you, let's make friendship. Allah says, I will take your displeasure away, you take my displeasure away. Allah says, let's make friends, make a contract of friendship with Allah. That's Laylatul Qadr. Yes, Allah made mistakes, I did sins, shaitan had shackled me. Allah says, don't worry, how many years? Allah, 70 years I sinned. Allah says, 70 years, all your sins, I will change into good deeds. 70 years. What else do you want, my servant? Allah says, yes, all your 70 years of sins are changed to good deeds. Allah says, I make you my friend, my wali. Wali Allah, you want to be Kutub, Ghawth, Abdal? What status would you like? All the Ghawth and Abdals and Kutubs, they did Tawbah first. They are coming out of bars, they're drinking alcohol, they're intoxicated. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala enabled him to do wakil. He became the greatest wali of his time when he repented. And his name spread around the Muslim world. Thief, bandit, one person. And he's going to steal. And he heard the recitation of Quran from a certain house. He heard the talawat. And it was Fajr Adhan. He stood there and said, Allah, I've come to you. Allah, I've come to you. Allah. And there he became such a great person. And you hear all his stories today being told. So they are from the Muslimin. So I say, don't worry about your sins, Allah says. Don't worry about your sins. Allah says that if you didn't sin, then would I not make you an angel, Allah says. Would I not make you an angel? If you didn't sin, then the angels were with me, Allah says. So, subhanAllah, I've made you unique from the angels. I want to show you that they will have sins, they'll have nurse, they'll have desires, everything. But despite that, they will be mine, Allah says. The human beings. They'll be close to me. Yes, if you've sinned, no problem. If you've done zina, fornication, adultery, you've done that. If you drank alcohol, you drank it. That's history, no problem. But then what do you do after that? Allah says, turn back to your Lord and say, Allah, please forgive me. Allah, please forgive me. I admit I've done wrong. Allah says, you say, Allah, I didn't want to do this. My nafs, my force, me, my ego, my desires. Allah says, you've come back to me. I make friendship with you again. And that's it. End of story. So this is the night tonight. Don't think, Allah, I did so many sins. Don't count your sins. Look, today Allah's mercy is raining down. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَهُ فِي لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Do you understand? Allah says, how will you know what is Laylatul Qadr? Allah says, how will you understand it? Do you know what is Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Allah said, I've given you such reward in this month, so many blessings in this night, that so many rewards, 1,000 month equivalents. You do action. If today you repent and you make friendship with Allah, then today for you reward, you'll get 1,000 month equivalents of making friendship with Allah. 1,000 month equivalents of repenting. Imagine how long? Just who told you stay awake all night? No, you don't have to. You pray Taraweeh, be grateful to Allah, sit down in the corner and drop two tears and enjoy your life after that. Enjoy yourself. That's it. And you'll get Eid, you'll get Taraweeh, you'll get the whole of Ramadan just after giving few minutes to Allah tonight. But we want to stay as donkeys and animals because we don't want to understand. Allah says, I don't need your hunger and thirst in Ramadan. I don't need that. That was just hunger and thirst in your fasting. That was dieting and nothing else. What's the reason we've done all of this in Ramadan? Allah says, I'm not giving you a punishment to worship me. Allah says, I want to elevate your status through the fasting. Yes, whoever understands what I'm saying, put your hands up if you understand what I'm saying. MashaAllah. Everybody accepts, MashaAllah. Okay. Yes, don't we want to improve ourselves? Don't we want to reform ourselves? Allah says, okay, fine, you can stay the way you are if you want to. It's up to you. It's up to you if you don't want to change. Allah says, well, I'm not going to force you. Allah says, I am trying to revive you. I've given you these excuses. I've sent you. Whoever's got sense, consciousness, he will be revived and become alive in this month, in this night. And they will ask Allah. They'll say, Allah, accept my mistakes and ask for forgiveness. And if they make a mistake again after that, Allah says, I'm here. You can come back to me again and I'll forgive you again. Don't hesitate. And Ramadan, will it not come again, Ramadan? Of course it will come again next year. So why are you scared? Allah says, I'm your Rabb. I'll forgive you today. I'll forgive you next time. Next day, next year, next month, I'll forgive you again. So why are you scared of repenting? Allah says, that I won't allow you to sin because my angels will surround you first. When you repent, my angels will surround you and protect you from sin. Foremost. So from what? That if you make a connection with my kitab, Allah says, and my prophet, Allah says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَوْ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, then all of the... Allah says, I'll repeat this again. Allah said that the greatest month is this month of Ramadan. Why is this month great? I'll repeat again. Because it is the night of power in this month. And why is Laylatul Qadr great? Because Allah said, I revealed the Quran in this night. Okay? So, the objective of this whole month and this night is due to the Quran. We've got Laylatul Qadr that's reminding us that what is your connection with the Quran? How should we connect to the Quran? Then we come to the Sunnah of the Prophet. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith. Because this enjoyment that we should speak from the proof, from the verses of the Quran and the hadith. It's not me, my opinion, I'm telling you. So what does the Quran tell us? What do the hadith tell us? So, that Allah says, are you Muslim? Yes, I'm a Muslim. I'm a strong Muslim, Allah. Do you have a connection with the Quran? Yes. 5 points of the Quran. There are 5 things mentioned in the Quran that we must do and believe in. 5 things. What are those 5 things? First one. Allah says, in the Quran, I've revealed five things that you must do. There are five things that are connected to a believer. There are five relationships you should have with the Quran. Number one, I have told you what is halal, and I've told you what is haram. One and two. Lawful and unlawful. This is halal. Allah says in the Quran, this is haram. This you must leave, this you must do. This you have to connect yourself to the Quran to understand this. If you're living in this world, you need the guidance, you want to be saved, so you have to ask, is this halal, lawful? Is this good for me or not? Can I take interest riba? Can I take haram? Oh no, yaar, it doesn't make a difference, yaar. It's just a minor. You can't follow those principles. Allah says, then I will test you during your life in the world. That is this halal or is this haram? You have to judge yourself by the principles of the Quran then. The kitab will tell you, is it lawful, unlawful? Is it prohibited or is it allowed? So the first connection is, consider halal as halal, that's number one, and haram as haram. Then mutashabbihat. What are those things that are doubtful? The Quran, there will be verses of the Quran, there are points, the allegorical verses. You don't need to argue over those meanings, just believe in them and leave the meaning to Allah. And when the time comes, Allah says, I'll explain the meanings to you. Don't go into arguments, then you become sects and groups and quarrels. Why is this? What does this mean? When that's not connected to you in the hereafter, I've hidden the meaning. When you become very pure, then I will reveal the meaning to your heart, Allah says. So don't fight over it. Yes, there's alif, la, meem, saad, kaf, all the meanings of these, understand. But first elevate your status, your rank, and have love with the Quran. The Quran will tell you itself that this is the meaning of the Quran. The Quran will tell you. Are you enjoying Laylatul Qadr? You understand today? Yes. And if I said, oh, it's a great night, let's stay awake all night, let's pray Salatul Tasbih, Khatam of Quran. If I tell you, is this really achieving Laylatul Qadr? This is not our deen. Yes, are we foolish, stupid? How we have spoiled the deen nowadays. All the masjids are doing this right now. All the masjids are full up and they're just keeping people awake. I'm not making you awake. I'm telling you, go to sleep and have a rest. After this, I'm going to tell you to rest. Just 3 minutes of your time will ask you at the end. Just 3 minutes. And then go and rest and sleep. Then the food is ready. And the brothers here, mashallah, will tell you. Then we'll do dhikr as well. And then, mashallah, live your life relaxed. Work and wealth, money. In that way, the way Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us, do it properly. So, live a respectful life. A good life. Allah hasn't prohibited living a nice life. This world is for us. Luxury is for us. Work, employment, business, trade, become rich, do whatever you want. Everything will be achieved through the light of the Quran, the guidance of the Quran. If you want to be rich, learn how to become rich. Not by doing haram and suppressing your wealth and doing fraud and cheating. That person is not rich. He is the poorest of the people. He's the poorest of the people. Yes, those people we think are rich and wealthy, they're the poorest of the people. Look at them on the Day of Judgment, what will happen to them? The countries are sat, they're very rich and wealthy, Amir Sharif, this Sharif, all Sharifs we see them with their names. Remember this. The poor person is the poor person and the rich person in reality is rich. Rich is that person who Allah says is wealthy. He is wealthy. Who is the wealthy person? Wealthy not from money, not from funds, wealthy in the heart. Rich in the heart. That's wealth. If a person's heart, if the greed of the world comes out of his heart and amassing and hoarding the dunya comes out of his heart and he learns contentment, Allah says that I'm happy. He says, Allah, I'm happy with you, what you've given to me. He's the richest person in the world. The richest. His sleep is beautiful and he has no loans or debts on his head. He has no difficulty on his head. He has no problem. He has no issues. He's just enjoying his life casually, smoothly. And mashallah, he's a cycle, a bicycle, he rides a cycle and he's cycling in the breeze. He doesn't look at Mercedes, he doesn't look at BMW. And then when those who start looking, they just keep looking the rest of their lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't look close to them. That's what we call a person who's at peace. So become rich like this. Why are you doing waste of time activities? Ask Allah Ta'ala for goodness, well-being. Allah, I want my heart to be content, at peace. £10, I'm content. Oh Allah, blessings, I'm so grateful to you. That I'll buy one chicken, some bread and eat chapati, and tomorrow we'll earn some more money and inshallah we'll see what happens. Yes. And those who have lots of money, thousands, look at their life. They never get filled their stomachs. Their stomach is never filled. Those who have tens of thousands and they can't stop counting. How do they count so much money they've got? What do they do with that money they've got? That money, take that person's money, eat that person's money. And then they say, we've got nothing. When they ask themselves, I've got nothing to my name, nothing. Or, I've got nothing. Oh, my Christmas, the season, I couldn't run the shop properly. There were no sales. I had no turnover. Always crying, complaining, even though they've got, are they rich or are they poor? Tell me those people. So never run after money, never run after currency. Allah has promised that I will give you wealth. Some people I'll give more, some I'll give less. If I'm giving you less, then be happy and content with that. Yes, and if I give you more, then be grateful to Allah. Be grateful to Allah. And spend it in the way of Allah. Spend it in the way of Allah. Yes, don't forcefully take money from people. Don't stay up, just work 8 hours, don't work 15 hours to force it. Your health will go downhill. In 8 hours, whatever money Allah will give to you, that's enough for you, that's enough for you. 10 hours driving taxis, your eyes are closing, sleeping, drowsy, you can't make money like that. Yes, do a work, a job, your body stays strong, your body is healthy, you get enjoyment in your worship, and you don't delay any salah. And then see how many barakat blessings come into your wealth. Yes, so it should be a standard of life, a criteria of life, a way of life, a balance. So how should we create a relationship? What's our first connection with the Quran? That we should accept halal as halal. Number two, accept haram as haram. And number three, believe in the mutashabihat, the allegorical verses. And then, ahkam. The ahkams, the instructions Allah has given to us, we must accept them. Ahkam, muhkamat. Who will give? Allah says, subhanAllah, I will leave. The Prophet ﷺ said, I will leave. No Prophet will come after me. So who will order you? Allah says, my kitab will give you the orders. And Allah's Quran, you can practice the Quran via the method of the sunnah. So if you don't understand the order of the Quran, this means that don't worry, then go to my sunnah, said the Prophet ﷺ. So the Quran is like the skeleton, and the sunnah will give you the meaning on that. So those who follow the sunnah, who spread the sunnah, there were more than 100,000 sahaba, said the Prophet ﷺ, and they followed me, and I left them after me. And every sahabi was like a star in the sky. Whichever star you follow, you will be guided. You will be guided. So you can raise your hands and pray salah, say Rafi al-Yadain, or say Ameen loudly. If you've got any dalil from any sahabi, just carry on. That's fine. There's proof. He was Wahhabi, he's Gair Muqallad. Is the sahabi saying it? Totally fine. Do the action. There's a companion who said it's fine. That's it. Not this. The Prophet said, imitate any of my sahabi. And someone's taken this companion, and this person taken this companion, another imam's followed a certain companion. Everyone's. So why are you fighting about it? If behind your action there's a proof from a companion, grab hold of it and implement it. That's it. Says, so whichever all my sahaba are stars in the sky, said the Prophet, whichever star you follow, you'll be guided. So we don't just make differences in groups. MashaAllah, we believe in all of the sahaba, but we don't want to follow the sahabas. We don't pray salam, saying, loudly or not loudly. We don't even want to pray in the first place. So why are we arguing? Isn't this the case? So what's this then? Why don't we want to pray? So there's no quarrel in Islam. This is the point here. I say that it's a beautiful thing that there's differences in practices. That means that every sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is revised. Someone's saying Ameen loudly, someone's saying it quietly, someone's putting his hands higher, someone's putting his hands lower, someone's leaving his hands down the side. Whichever sunnah you prefer, follow it. That's it. Why are you worried about it? Why are you fighting over it, quarreling over it? Yes, we're quarreling, fighting, masjids are being smashed, we're fighting inside the mosque, each other, just over differences of opinion. What's happened to us? When the qawm goes off tracks and deviated, then Allah says, azab comes. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah will be vast, there'll be many high number, and they'll be rich, but they'll be like a twig on the branch, they'll be finished, so weak. And look at us today. What's our hal today, our condition today? The ummah, the Muslims, you can see everything, you can see the scenes around us. I don't need to explain to you. You can see for your own eyes. You can see what's happening to us. What's going on in the stage now? The drama. Who's suffering? What's suffering? What's happening most of all? Who's suffering most of all? Which group of people are suffering most in the world today? Those who have the kitab. They have the Kaaba. They have Medina. The whole nation is on one side. But who is suffering? Who? Those who have everything, but they don't have no connection with Allah. We don't have relation with the Quran, we don't have relation with Makkah, with Medina. If we had a connection with Medina, we'd have a relationship with Medina. If we're following the sunnah of the Prophet of Medina, we'd have the beards on our faces. We would have his beloved attire, his sunnah in our clothes. We would have his blessed imamah. We say that person's not worth even 2 pence. He's wearing turban, wearing Islamic clothes. Why are you wandering around the world like fundamentalists? You're dishonoring us, disrespecting us. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We look down at them. Then do what you want and take the hisab of what's happening in the world. So is this the relationship we have with deen? So Allah says that whenever Allah orders, instructs in the Quran, we must accept that instruction. Amthal. So that was number four. And the fifth thing is, Amthal. Allah says, Allah give you examples in the Quran of who? The previous nations and the tribes and the followers of the previous prophets, and you learn from the Quran the mistakes they made, then take the learning. They used to lie, for example. They used to do fraud. They used to weigh less on the scale. They used to do zina, adultery. They used to do astaghfirullah, child abuse, homosexuality, lurid acts. Allah says, I will show you the proofs in the Quran of the previous nations, how I punished them. They're not stories. They're warning for you, admonishment for you. Save yourselves now. But we don't know. We don't want to learn. We're not aware. The Qawm of Shu'ayb, why were they punished? Qawm of Lut, why were they punished? And all the different Qawm of Nuh, the Prophet Noah, why was their punishment? Each different group of people, Allah said, when they committed sins, I wiped them away from the face of the earth. I didn't leave them. I punished them. Laylatul Qadr, do we understand now what is Laylatul Qadr? What's the purpose? And so are we reviving ourselves inside, or are we just staying awake physically? We should revive ourselves inside, waken inside. So Allah says, create a connection with the Quran and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the five things from the Quran. And if you follow these five things, you'll have a strong connection. So if we make this connection and relationship with the Quran, then Allah ta'ala says, then I'll give you a maqam, high status, Laylatul Qadr. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَتُهُ Allah says, I will send angels onto the earth in this night, and the angels will come, all of them. They won't come alone. Rather, who will they come with? The chief of the angels, the Ruhul Amin, will come today, the head of the angels. And he will come, he's probably listening to us, everything we're saying now. Yes, they're all listening, the angels, they're here in the world, they're listening. They're released. There's a madman speaking and everyone's listening. Astaghfirullah, and they'll go back and give a report. They come in this night, Jibreel alayhi salam, the head of the angels, comes. He goes to the Kaaba, he puts the flag up, the standard. Then he tells all the other angels, go spread out around the world and see what are the people doing. And those people in their house, there are no sins and there are no errors and no vice, no evil. Then put the announcement of Jannah on their houses. And where there are sins and evil and dirty actions, then put the cross on those houses, that people are destined to hell and they will be given punishment. So then destruction starts to come then in those homes. So tonight is the night of decision making. Decisions. Remember, this is a great night. We have to make the decision. How long? Until Fajr time. At Fajr time, the angels will return. They'll go back to Makkah, Mukarramah. We've come back, or Jibreel. And then they'll all go ascend to the heavens. That we made a decision. We put the ticks on the houses. Those who were fortunate, those who did Tawbah, and those who didn't do Tawbah. Who was someone doing zina, adultery, listening to music, fornication, haram, dirty actions? In Islamic country, one of my friends, he phoned me. He said, I've just prayed Taraweeh, and there's bombings taking place there now. Bombings, just 2 days ago, one or 2 days ago, my body shook. He said, I've just prayed Taraweeh Salah. He said, I saw the people are sat there outside and there's a woman dancing amongst them. A woman's dancing. And they just came back after praying Taraweeh. So is it not jais then for bombs to fall on them? Allah Ta'ala, will He not wipe those people away? There's zulm, oppression. You call oppression? No, that's justice that Allah Ta'ala is meeting out. This is justice for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, on every action of ours, every bad action that we do, Allah Ta'ala will give the justice. Every order of Allah is justice. Every punishment of Allah Ta'ala is justice. And we think, we complain, everything that Allah Ta'ala has done in the world is based on His justice. Allah Ta'ala doesn't let these people stay awake, alive, because they spoil the whole of society. Can we think, imagine? The Islamic country, and the reading, and the bombs dropping, despite that He said that they've made a place under a tent, and there's a woman dancing, and there's music being played there, instruments being banged. Tell me, is that Ramadan? This is the month of Ramadan? So what will happen? So right now we are here assembled. At least we can do Tawbah. At least we can repent. Will we repent, my brothers? Will we repent? Or do we still want on a holiday in life? We want to stay awake all night long. In the morning we say, we're forgiven. We've done nothing. Mawlana Sahib announced, you're forgiven, everyone. You're forgiven. Go do what you want now in your life. You're wasting time all night long. Go do Tawbah, repent, and sleep at home. Repent first, you've done too much worship, pray Taraweeh, pray Salah, go sleep, enjoy yourself during the night. Come in the morning, be fresh, pray Fajr Salah in the masjid. Yes, who told you stay awake all night and get tired? Do Tawbah first. But we don't want to repent, we want to do all the other worship under the sun. We won't want to make friendship with Allah. We don't want to make a promise that Allah, let's start a new journey of life from today. A new lease of life. Yes, take out the evil out of all our houses today. Take all the evil out of the houses today. The angels will not put the cross on your door. I tell you, this is the hadith. Definitely Jibreel alayhi salam has come to earth with his angels, his group. And we have a chance tonight in our lives. And next year, we don't know if we're going to get Ramadan or Laylatul Qadr. So extra, extra honor of Allah. Look, the angels, they come. There are two types of angels. One are those who are jalali, passion, and they're hard and they're severe, strict, and they come and they remove the fasad, the evil from the world, and they remove it. Yes? Just like they came to the previous prophets, who they said, that what are the food you given to us, that we've come here to remove this person from the earth. Because we are strong angels, with our one wing we can destroy the dunya. These are those angels who have jalal. Just like Jibreel alayhi salam, his cabinet has come, they have come today with their mercy qualities today to spread around the world. Not their strictness. One rahmah, mercy of rahmah, mercy comes down, then the whole world can fall under the mercy of Allah. And today he's come with his whole cabinet, his whole army, so many mercy, so many barakat, so much time for acceptance of dua, so much is there today in this night. But a person, a human being, should at least ask Allah. So just only one action we should be doing, we should make Allah happy, and we will get all of the goodness in our lives. But if we stay the same as we were before today, we'll get nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the meaning of Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Wa ma adraka ma Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Tanazzalul malaikatuhum. Warruhu bi'inni rabbihim min kulli amr. Look here. So Allah, everything happens with Allah's order. Everything happens with Allah's decision. Take benefit from this night. Until Fajr, we've got time. This time, think. Just ponder for a few minutes. Repent and you'll pass successfully through this night. Not this, you have to keep praying salah and you've got beard and you are pious and you think you haven't sinned. No, even the practicing person is sinful. This is for everyone tonight. Every Muslim believer who's alive today should look inside himself. How dirty am I? I fight, I quarrel, I argue, I shout. Look, one thing's coming to my mind I'd like to share with you. If you have connection with the Quran, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm leaving with you two things. The Quran and my sunnah. These are the two things. The Quran and my lifestyle. I'm leaving with you two things. When you hold on to these two things firmly, then what will be the third thing that will make you the human being? What's the third thing that will make you the human being? That will revive the deen. When you have the connection with the Quran and you follow my sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one thing will develop inside you, become a great human being, and that is akhlaqi husna. The conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manners, the character, good habits. The example of this the Prophet ﷺ gave. What's the example? That, for example, somebody's done wrong, you forgive him. If someone swears at you, you forgive that person. If somebody has done bad to you, you say, I forgive you for the sake of Allah. If someone's made a mistake, you say, I overlook your mistake. Yes, we read the Quran and we say we follow the Sunnah, but in the enmities we have, the hatred for people, gossip mongering, envy, arguments in masjids, in the khanqah, there's no argument, there's no place where there's no arguments today. In the masjids, in the khankas, and due to difference of opinion, this is why Allah Ta'ala showed this event. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah showed him an example. Otherwise you can waste everything through arguing and fighting. But such a tariqah method Allah has told us in this night. So this night was not declared yet. It was not declared Laylatul Qadr. And it was said that such a night in this month is a great night. Then the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that look for this night. We must look for this night. And he said to the sahaba, great night. How should we look for it? He said, come, let's sit in itikaf. And so that's where itikaf started. The last 10 days, itikaf, sitting in the masjid. Seclusion, loneliness. The Holy Prophet sat in the masjid. The sahaba sat in the masjid. 10 days passed. He said, no news has come. No news has come. He said, okay, what should we do? He said, let's sit again. Then they sat again in itikaf. The whole month they did, the Prophet did itikaf. Then they sat again. And 20 days have passed. So 2/3 of Ramadan went, still no feedback from Allah. No update. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, no report has come yet. He said, but I've learned this much for sure, that now the final 10 days are coming, that night of power is in the last 10 days of Ramadan. These hints I've attained, I've learnt, I've been given. Subhanallah. And so sit in this. Then the sahaba, they took their bedding out, they rested and they went through the last 10 days of Ramadan. Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, that I've been also told about that night when it is. I've been told, I'll tell you. So that until this point, the learning has come. That what a great learning that was shared with us. So the Holy Prophet, he went out, and what did he see? Two people were fighting, quarreling. The Prophet was going to reveal that night. What night was it in the odd nights? And the Prophet saw the fighting, the quarreling. He started to make them up, make them join back together. And when he saw the argument after that, that news that came out of the mind of the Prophet, what he was going to share with the Ummah about the night of power. And so what was this? What does this tell us? The first learning we hear from this hadith, the hikmah, wisdom, is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he gave us such a great point, that whenever you want to learn something, attain something, then you need to make effort and go through hardship. You won't get good things on a plate. You have to make effort. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want to find Laylatul Qadr, it won't come easily. You have to do mujahida to acquire it, because to acquire great things, you have to make great efforts, give great sacrifices. If you want to become Wali Allah, you can't just be like that. Go sit in the company of a sheikh, do bayah, pledge allegiance, do tawbah in his hands, do tawbah, repent, do tazkiyah. Then you will become the Wali of Allah. Then you will graduate as a pious person. This is called tazkiyah, purification. We say within a minute, I want to be Wali Allah, find a sheikh. No, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the formula, the method. That this is wahi from Allah. But this is training that Allah has given to the ummah. That whenever you want to acquire something good, then first thing you have to work hard for that. Make effort for that. So in the first 10 days work hard. Second 10 days of Ramadan work hard. And this final third of Ramadan, when it's told to us, that even then we don't know the night of power. We don't know specifically. Because Allah knew, if I tell them, then the worst thing, because obviously this is the night of barakah, blessings, mercies, the angels descend. So the Prophet ﷺ said that when the human beings' akhlaq will become such, they're fighting, quarreling, they're disrespectful, then all the barakat and blessings and mercies, Allah Ta'ala takes away. Allah takes them away. Do you understand now this point? So the Prophet ﷺ said, I can't tell you now. So he said, you are not capable that the rahmah, the mercy of Allah should come to you. Specifically, you don't have that character. Because the principle, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, sunnah and the obedience of the Quran, when you do that, then you get the akhlaqi husn, the good conduct and manners. If you don't have akhlaqi husn, a good conduct manners, then there's something lacking in you. And that means anger is at the tip of your nose, and lying, you're the master of lying, you're the champion of fraud. And you know how to backbite against each other and slander. You shake each other's hands, you backbite against each other, you criticize, you mock. Rather than giving someone Islam rectification, you criticize that person, you have hasad against that person, envy against that person, jealousy. And you pray lots of salah, you've got lengthy beards, big imamas, turbans, and you work in the khanqah. Subhanallah. What's the result then of your actions? Look at yourself, look at your assessment. Self-assessment, you need to do mujahidah, my friend, mujahidah. If somebody's making a mistake, forgive that person. If he is coming forward, you step back. Yes? No, we can't dare to do that. But Islam teaches us this. Islam is not about salah, not about hajj, not about umrah. Islam is usna akhlaq, the good, excellent conduct and manners. Remember this. All of these ibadat, worship, for this reason, so that good conduct manners can come into our lives. Yes, I did this many umrah, this many hajj. What have we done? Yes, what's the hisab after that? Yes, he's given a divorce to his wife after Hajj. He's coming back home and quarreling and arguing with the family. And he's taking the rights of people. And he said, this much money, he's eaten mine. He's taken this much money of mine. Where's he come from? Haji sahab. I said to you, why don't you keep the beard? He said, I've seen many people keep the beard. I said, why? What's wrong? He said, all those people who have beards and they're fraudsters, I've seen many people like that. They've taken so much money of mine. Eaten my money. What do we say to that person? So these things, we can't get benefit. The benefit is this, that where you learn the deen properly, when you follow the Quran and the Sunnah properly, what will happen in your life? Your akhlaq, your conduct, your manners, your lifestyle will become better. If you don't have good akhlaq, good conduct, then this will be the conclusion of what's happening with us in the world today. Destroyed. With our nations. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the point. So tonight, why has Allah given us Laylatul Qadr? So that we can strengthen our relationship with Allah, reconnect with Allah. That's what we need to do. Allah, I've made mistakes. Allah, please forgive me. Allah, inshallah, in the future, I'll try my best not to do the wrong again. Allah, please order me. How should I live my life from today? I accept from today. And you won't know, but if you go to a good person who practically looks good to you, righteous to you, and ask him, what shall I do? Advise me. I want to become good today. How should I start my new phase of life? And today, from today, your life will be made, revived. You save yourself from haram and go towards halal, lawful things, and follow Allah's ahkam's orders. And don't say, I'm an alim, I'm a scholar, I'm a qari, I'm a hafiz. Nothing. What is your practice? Show your amal practically. Show from within your practice. Yes, this is not connection with the Prophet ﷺ that you've got learning of deen. The Prophet ﷺ said, let me tell you a hadith, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He announced that all my ummah will go to paradise, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we want. This is what we want, isn't it? So he's giving this to us. He's announcing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of my ummah, my followers are going to paradise. Illa Aba. He said, except one person. All of my ummah, my followers who are connected to me, who believe in me, are going to paradise. And the next statement, then we should pay attention to that, shouldn't we? Don't just read the first half. Oh, I love the Prophet, I've got ishq. Oh, I give my life for him. I recite nasheeds and naats. Yeah, but you've forgotten the second part. All the believers will go to Jannah. Except illa Aba. But Aba is who? Subhanallah. There's one person we have to understand. Who is that? O Prophet of Allah, what is Aba? That person who doesn't follow me. Who doesn't follow me. Except he who has not followed me. Who has not obeyed me. Who doesn't follow my sunnah. He has no connection with paradise. Man nahabba sunnati fa man nahabbani. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves my sunnah for man nahabbani, he has loved me. Whoever loves me will go with me into paradise. Apart from that, it's drama. It's not a life. The shaitan has gone into him in his life. Shaitan. That person who lives his life without following the sunnah, and he says he loves Allah and his Rasul, shaitan is flowing inside his bloodstream. They deal with the person with shaitan. Even a disbeliever can sit in front of an idol and says, oh, I follow, I believe in God, I worship the idol. He's immersed in that stone, in the idol. He gives his life and dies for it. And I get peace from the idol worshipping. Shaitan is teaching him this peace. Shaitan. Falsehood. Yes, just a few days ago, in Bolton, there's a mandir, a temple. And you see, noise and clamor. They said that from idol, the milk's coming from their mouth. Yes? They said that this is shaitan tricking them. Shaitan. These are tricks. Milk's coming from the mouth of the idol. And Allah Ta'ala tests the belief of people. That how much do they believe when they see these things? Yes, keep the same standard that the Quran says. Allah says, the person who loves me is the person who follows the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is the true lover of Allah. That's the sign. Yes, or improve your appearance, your face, make your lifestyle like that person who loves the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, I can't do that. That's too extreme. Fundamentalist, backward. May Allah Ta'ala make you the lover. But we have no problem with that, with you. But yes, do the right thing first. And we will all go into paradise. But you don't have no connection with me if you don't follow the sunnah. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The Prophet said, I have no connection with you. No, you're just wasting your time. Yes, how will you show your face to Allah on the Day of Judgment? What connection do you have with fasting and praying if you don't follow the sunnah? He's a baghi. He's a rejecter. He's a rebel. What's a baghi? Rebel. Rebellious person who leaves the sunnah. What's he a rebel of? He's a rebel of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He stood against it. His life is against it. He says, I don't believe in the sunnah. I don't think it's necessary. These things don't appeal to me. They don't attract me. I don't believe that I have to follow this. Why should I follow these things, the sunnah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yes, but I am your ummati, I am your follower, but I don't want to follow your lifestyle. Astaghfirullah. So my brothers, my colleagues, this is nothing to be scared about. Allah has given us a straightforward message how to live our lives. In these nights, Laylatul Qadr, Allah has given us this opportunity to be here on this day. We are all on the same playing field. Me, you, we all are awake now. We're awake. And look how many sins will come out from inside. When I sit down now, after we finish this gathering, this is Laylatul Qadr. I will sit as well and ponder and make a list of all my mistakes and I'll do tawbah. Allah, I was thinking I was pious and righteous. Allah, I've got all these sins. I lie, I do haram, I'm greedy, and all the actions of the deen I'm doing, I'm taking benefit from the world. Worldly, I've got no sincerity inside me. And I will not, until I don't get worldly benefit, I don't do any deeni action. Allah, I'm wrong, I'm not good. And then I've not got a relationship with Allah. If I've got a relationship with Allah, then every deed in my life will be done for the sake of Allah. Everything, morning till night. But when you mix dunya, I'm praying salah, because I can earn dunya, then that's not salah. Then leave that salah, if you're trying to earn dunya. There was a pious person, a very unique wali Allah in Karachi, and he was doing muraqabah, meditation, and he used to host muraqabah, Naqshbandi Sheikh, with his students. They were doing zikrullah in their hearts. And while he was doing muraqabah, then he'd leave it. He said, I'm not doing it now. They said, Sheikh, what's happened? He said, no, my ikhlas, my sincerity is gone. The thoughts of the dunya were coming in my heart. So I stopped muraqabah now. Stop doing dhikrullah now. Because I've got no sincerity now. He's the teacher. Hazrat Thanvi Sahab, he had a gathering, he was going to speak. He stopped. They said, Hazrat, what's happened? He said, no, the worldly thoughts came in my mind. And I thought I could see the glow and the benefit of dunya. I don't want benefit of dunya from my speech, so my sincerity went. So I stopped speaking. These are the people who are the good people. Yes, and for us, until we don't see the sparkle and glow of dunya and money, we don't do any action with the deen. We use deen for dunya, do tawbah, istighfar. The person says, Allah, Imam, if I'm going to lead the salah, I'll do it for your sake. Allah. Any action you start to do, what should be your niyyah? Allah, I'm doing this for your sake. When I sit down on the chair, then the first thing I do, tawbah, repent, I ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah, I make my niyyah intention correct. Allah, make an intention. I don't want dunya to come in my mind, in my heart. Allah, please don't let anything beneficial for me come for myself. Allah, when I speak, give me the benefit in my hereafter and let those who are listening get benefit in the hereafter. And that's it. And that's all you can do. Ask Allah for protection. And then we start. Yes, so Allah, I will speak, but am I capable of speaking? Allah, make the niyyah. Allah, please allow me to implement this niyyah. Should be very careful, cautious in our lives. In the khanqah, you're serving the khanqah, you're doing work of the khanqah. And if dunya comes into that, my brothers, then you're wasting your time. Khalis, solely, sincerely for the sake of Allah. Allah has given you a chance to please Him. Allah has given you a chance to please Him. Don't waste it. Don't one taka, 1 pound, 1 rupee of the dunya should come into your work of the deen. If Allah is taking any work of the deen from you, don't mix the dunya, the world into that. Then what will you get from that? Nothing. Be khalis, pure, sincere. Any action do. And this night, anyhow, is to remind us, everyone here, everyone this night is reminding us that if you want to be good, everyone tonight should think and assess. And if you're awake all night, Lord, just thinking this, then that's fine. Stay awake all night. Then he's fine. Sit down, stay awake all night, pondering, assessing, correcting. So this will be your ibadah, high level worship tonight. Self-assessment. Self-assessment will be the high level worship. Okay? And then the angels will come, they swirl around the world, they look for the people, they come and meet the people, they go to the houses of the people. And there's one special point made in the hadith, that then when they're looking and watching, they see a jamaat, a group of people sat doing dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. And dhikr, that the angels love dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. One angel says subhanallah bihamdi, one angel says subhanallah, one angel says alhamdulillah. This is their food until the day of judgment. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. This is the food for the angels. When you recite this, this is their food. They say, who are these people, human beings reciting the kalamat, that is our food. Then they enjoy that and they come and join that gathering. Imagine the report that they feed back to Allah after that. So today, if you want to stay awake, then stay awake with dhikrullah. Join this gathering. The angels will become your friends, mashallah, and give good feedback of yours to Allah. And then it said that the angels shake hands with those people doing dhikrullah. They say, mashallah, you're young, you've made us happy. The angels say, this dunya is dirty, waste of time, place, there's sins. And today we're seeing these human beings, these believers, the mashallah, the sunnah, they've got the appearance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're doing the actions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then imagine the great positive report they'll give to Allah when they go back. They'll give a great report for you, aren't they? They'll say, Allah, this person in the world, he was doing this, he was remembering you, doing your dhikr. So that will become the best night for you in your life. I hope everybody understands what is Laylatul Qadr now. So this is the meaning of Laylatul Qadr. Let's repent. Laylatul Qadr definition equals tawbah, repent. If you repent, you have earned Laylatul Qadr. You've acquired it. And you're nothing more you need to worry about. If you repent. So not just Laylatul Qadr, you've attained the whole of Ramadan. Your whole life has improved. You've got the treasures of the hereafter. And then you just carry on from there. So if you want to ask someone what is the method of repenting, Allah, then this darwish, this humble servant is here. I will explain to you in detail how to do tawbah, how to repent. And true repentance will come to you in life. Yes, always you need a friend to help you in life, isn't it? If you got experience and somebody experienced with you in life, for example, you're working. So if somebody has done tawbah already, he's got experience. And if he comes to you and says, how did you do tawbah, repent? Come on, I'll explain to you how to do tawbah, how to repent to Allah. So find someone tonight who's already repented and he can explain to you that I did tawbah like this, I repented like this, and this is how I turned to Allah. They'll share that with you. Then very easily explain to you what to do. Okay, so you have to think at least in it that I need to improve, I need to change, I need to get better. So it'll be easier for you if you go to someone already who's done that, then he can guide you. So we should do this, and then you are celebrating Laylatul Qadr, and very beneficial will be for you. The rest of the night, wake up. I don't say this, waking up for nothing, bopping around, trying to pray, worship, forcing yourself. How long's left to suhoor? How long left to suhoor? No, you don't need to do that. You don't get forgiveness from this, you're just wasting time doing that. Rest. Okay, you understand everything now? Message has been delivered? You understand everything? Put your hands up if you've understood what I've said. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. May Allah give us the ability to practice what we've heard. And may Allah make this night the best Laylatul Qadr in our lives. May Allah make this Ramadan the best Ramadan in our lives. And time and time again, may Allah allow us to turn to Him. Now let's go towards Dhikrullah. The angels will rejoice as well when we do Dhikr. And from your heart, do Dhikr tonight. From the depths of your heart, that you enjoy and feel that Dhikr that you're doing. This is tonight's worship. Tonight's worship is what? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. No other worship tonight. That's it. Just two words Allah said. Allah said, a great month Ramadan, alongside that, Allah said that great night, so do this action, dhikr, remember Allah, and a fantastic action to do on this night. Yes, immense action to do on this night. Most beloved to Allah is the dhikr of Allah. In jamaat, in congregation, together we are. Allah says, when a group of people sit together and do dhikr, Allah says, then I remember you in the heavens. Subhanallah. Imagine Allah says, I like it when people get together, the believers do dhikr together in a gathering. Allah says, now I say, angels, come, let's do dhikr as well. Let's remember them. Why? Because these servants are remembering me, Allah says, so I'll do their dhikr amongst you, O angels. Imagine that. Imagine that. Tell me. How immense Allah Ta'ala says that you are so beloved to me doing my dhikr that He starts to imitate the action. So what a fantastic action is dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Allah says, I want to do this as well. And after that, subhanallah. The week old people come from London, come from here, there, do dhikr. You, mashallah, you come, you arrive, isn't it? Yeah? And if you say, open for everyone, we say that on the poster. Open for everyone, welcome. Yes? And open permission. Bring your bags with you, your bedding with you. This is what we say, isn't it? MashaAllah, all the brothers arrive. So, are you tired? You're getting food? You're getting tea now after the gathering? MashaAllah. Then give the bill after that, okay? Pay the bill. MashaAllah. You understand what I'm saying? So this is mashallah, invitation I give to you. And you gather together, so you get dhikr as well. So this is the fadl of Allah. This is the immense grace of Allah. What else is the grace of Allah? That you've been invited to Jannah, paradise. Everything you forgot, home, wife, children, family. Forgot everyone. Everyone comes out to your heart right now. You're immersed in the Laylatul Qadr, in the remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala give us Laylatul Qadr, this repeatedly in the future. So let's do dhikr now. Remembrance of Allah, put the lights down and start dhikr of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, alamin alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Shafi'i al-Zameen, Taha al-Azim, al-Habib al-Mameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin, Nabi Nabi wa Azwaji, Ummati al-Mu'minin, wa Zurriyatihi wa Ahli Baytihi, kama sallaita ala Ibrahima, innaka Hamidun Majid. Wa sallim tasliman, daiman, abadan, kathiran, kathiran, kathiran. Allahumma aghfir lana zulumana wa zulmana wa azlana wa jaddana wa khatwana wa amadana kulla zalika indana. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar wa qina adhabal qabr wa qina adhabal hashr فقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا كريم ربنا هب لنا وازواجنا من ذرياتنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات itpa balayyatina yashafiyallamura ishvamuradina yashafiyallamura ishvamuradina yashafiyallamura ishvamuradina Allahumma fina fi badani Allahumma fina fi samayi Allahumma fina fi basri La ilaha illa anta Ya hayyu ya qayyum Birahmatika nasta'in Ya hayyu ya qayyum Birahmatika nasta'in Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa zurriyyatina Qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا
اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے ہمارے تمام رشتہ داروں کو بخش دے یا اللہ تمام جاننے والوں کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے جو ساتھی جو ہمارے حلقے میں تھے ہمارے سے ذکر کرتے تھے یا اللہ ہمارے حلقے ساتھ جڑے ہوئے تھے ہم سے پہلے سے لگے میرے مولا ان کو اعلیٰ درجات نصیب فرما یا اللہ ان کی اولادوں کو ان کو صدقہ جاریہ بنا یا اللہ جنت میں ان کو اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما یا اللہ جس طرح ہمارے ساتھ ذکر میں بیٹھتے تھے میرے مولا اس ذکر کا آج ان کو فائدہ پہنچا اے کریم تو اپنے فضل خاص سے ہماری تمام دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اے اللہ ہمیں لیلۃ القدر نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں لیلۃ القدر نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہم بہت کمزور ہیں گناہ گار ہیں سیاہ کار ہیں بدکار ہیں سارے عیب میں ہیں لیکن تیری امت ہیں تیرے حبیب کی امت ہے میرے مولا تو آج ہم پہ رحم فرما دے اپنی رحمت کا ایک چھینٹا بھیج دے ہم پہ ہماری قسمتوں کو بنا دے میرے مولا ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما اے کریم ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما اے تریم ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما ہم تجھ سے دور بھاگتے ہیں تمہیں نزدیک بلاتا ہے اے میرے مولا ہمیں تو اپنی محبت نصیب فرما یا اللہ جان سے مال سے اولاد سے سب سے زیادہ تیری محبت ہمیں نصیب مل جائے یا رحم الرحمین یا رحم الرحمین تو ہمارا بن جائے ہم تیرے بن جائیں میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمارا آخرت بہتر کر دے یا اللہ جب ہم اس دنیا سے جا رہے ہیں تو میرے مولا ہم خوشخبری سنتے ہوں جاؤ تم بخشے گئے ہو میرے مولا یا اللہ بے حساب ہمیں جنت میں ڈال دے ہم حساب کے قابل نہیں میرے مولا ہمارے پاس کوئی عمل نہیں کوئی عمل نامہ نہیں یا اللہ جو ٹوٹی پھوٹی چیزیں ہیں سب ریاض کے ساتھ ہیں یا میرے مولا اس میں کوئی اخلاص نہیں ہے بس تیرے رحم پہ امید ہار ہیں تیرے کرم پہ امید ہار ہیں میرے مولا تو نے ہمیں راتیں نصیب فرمائی ہیں ٹوٹی پھوٹی ہم نے محنت کی ہے میرے مولا تھوڑا بہت ہم جاگ چکے ہیں میرے مولا بس اپنا فضل ہونا ہمیں اندر سے جگا دے یا اللہ بقیہ زندگی تیری فرما برداری میں گزار سکیں تیری اطاعت میں گزار سکیں اے میرے مولا بہت زندگی تیری نافرمانی میں ہم نے گزاری ہے بہت زندگی ہم نے ضائع کی ہے میرے مولا اب تو ہمیں ہوش آ جائے تو ایسی زندگی عطا فرما ہمارے اولادوں کو میرے مولا تو نیک بنا دے سہلا بنا دے یا اللہ ہمیں ہر فتنے سے بچا دشمنوں کے ہر چکر سے بچا ظالم سے ہمارا بدلہ لے لے یا اللہ ظالموں سے ہمارا بدلہ لے لے یا اللہ جو ہم پہ ظلم کریں اس سے بدلہ لے میرے مولا یا کریم ہم تو بہت کمزور ہیں میرے مولا سب کچھ ہماری نافرمانی کی اس سے ناراضگی کی وجہ ہے میرے مولا یا کریم اپنے عذابوں کو دور فرما اپنے عذابوں کو رحمت میں تبدیل فرما دے اے میرے مولا اپنے عذابوں کو رحمت میں تبدیل فرما دے اے کریم چھوٹے چھوٹے بچے ہیں ہاتھ اٹھائے تو اسے دعا مانگ رہے ہیں ان بچوں کے توفیل سے ہم بوڑھوں کو بھی معاف فرما دے اے کریم تو آج ہماری قبروں کو رونق عطا فرما دے یا رحمٰن الرحیم تو اپنا فضل فرما آج ہم مجلس سے نکلیں تو ہمیں خوشخبری دے جاؤ تم بخشے گئے ہو میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں نیک زندگی عطا فرما سہارا زندگی عطا فرما یا اللہ دین کی اس لحاظ سے بھی خدمت کر رہے ہیں ہماری خدمتوں کو قبول فرما اے میرے مولا ہمیں خدمت کرنی نہیں آتی بہت نالائق ہیں ہر لحاظ سے میرے مولا بس تو قبول فرما لے سکے یا ہمیں اپنے فرض سے اپنے کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے میرے مولا ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما زیارت حرمین شریف نصیب فرما یا اللہ پوری جماعت کے ساتھ نصیب فرما جیسے پہلے جاتے تھے ویسے نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا سکون نصیب فرما پورے عالم دنیا میں سکون دے دے یا اللہ پورے عالم دنیا میں سکون دے دے اے میرے مولا سکون نصیب فرما میرا ماں مار دھار ظلم سب ختم فرما دے اے میرے مولا مار دھار ظلم بم باری سب ختم فرما لوگوں کے دوسرے کی محبت عطا فرما ساتھ رہنا سکھا میرے مولا دوسروں کی عزت احترام سکھا میرے مولا دوسروں کی عبادات کی ہمیں احترام سکھا میرے مولا اب ایک دوسرے کی نظر میں عزت نصیب فرما سب کو رائے ہدایت نصیب فرما اے میرا رائے ہدایت تو دینے والا ہے ہدایت دینے والا تو ہے میرے مولا تو ہی سبوں کو دلوں کو تبدیل کر سکتا ہے
یا مسر قلوب ان کے دلوں کو تبدیل فرما دے اے میرے مولا، تو ہم ان کا گہرا بناوا اس دنیا کو میرا مولا، مستحین سہرین پیدا فرمائے سو. یا کریم تو اپنے فضل سے ہماری ٹوٹی پھوٹی دعائیں قبول فرما، اے کریم ہماری ٹوٹی پھوٹی دعائیں قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، السلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین. میرے مولا جن بچوں نے ترابیں پڑھی ہیں اور جن حافظوں نے قرآن پڑھا ہے، اے کریم ان کے سروں پہ تاج دا، ان کے ماں باپ کے سروں پہ تاج دا فرما، ان کو با عمل بنا. یا اللہ اس تعلق قرآن سے ان کا مضبوط فرما، قرآن سے ان کی محبت نصیب فرما، جو کمزوریاں ان کی دور فرما. یا اللہ ان کے دل میں تو نے نور نبوت ڈالا ہے، ان کے گناہوں سے بچا لے. یا اللہ ان کو گناہوں سے بچا، یا اللہ ان کو گناہوں سے بچا. اس قرآن کا تقدس ان کو نصیب فرما، ہر سال یہ اسی طرح ترابیاں سنیں اور ہم سنتے رہیں میرے مولا. ان کے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما، ان کے ماں باپ کے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.